You probably already know the reason we're spending so much time on just the subject of Joseph is because I wanted to. That's it. All right. Well, let's open with a word of prayer. Father, thank you for your word and your truth, and thank you so much for the revelation we have in your word. I thank you that you work in history to tell the story that you want to tell. You work in the lives of real people and real events to orchestrate a message, a story. So we thank you so much for the story of Joseph and his brothers, and ask your blessing as we come to your word and see what you have to say to us through their lives. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So, this is interesting. We're going to pick up where we ended up. The questions we didn't get to last week. And I added one. So that's 1A. Wasn't in last week's handout. You know, I thought it would be good. We read chapter 37 last week, which you, of course, remember, right? Yeah. Okay. We didn't read from Acts chapter 7. So, if someone will turn to Acts chapter 7 and just read verses 9 and 10. This is Stephen giving a defense before the Sanhedrin of what he was teaching, sort of. I'm not sure exactly the defense he gave. But anybody have Acts? Terry. No, that's good. Yeah, that's good. So, Joseph, you know, he's speaking to the Sanhedrin, who out of envy, we'll see in just a minute, actually, got rid of Jesus, and now Jesus is king. So, there's a picture of Joseph. Brothers got rid of Joseph, and he's now king of Egypt. So, let's start with Genesis chapter 4. Verses 4 and 5. Cain and Abel. What does the Bible tell us about Cain's killing Abel? Why did he do it? So, who has that? And Kendall. And if while Kendall's reading, well, I want someone also to look up Acts, 1 John chapter 3, verse 12. Thank you. So, Kendall, please. Yes, I hope. Jeff, 1 John chapter 3, verse 12. So what does that suggest for the reason Cain killed his brother? Jealousy. Envy, jealousy. Right. Why did the brothers sell Joseph into Egypt? We just read it from Acts chapter 7, verse 9. Yeah, same reason, jealousy. Why did the chief priests want Jesus dead, according to Mark chapter 15, verse 10? Anybody want to look that up? You know what the answer is going to be. The same reason. A different word's used there. Anybody have it? Mark 10. At least my translation. Mark 15. Sorry, verse 10. Envy. Why did the Jewish leaders persecute the apostles? Acts chapter 5, 16 through 18. Anybody got that? I'm counting on you, Ken. Nope. No. Yeah, well, he's there. But Ken Wilhelm. Chapter 5, verses 16 and through 18. Whole passage. Loud and clear. Jealousy. Okay. How has this pattern been repeated in the history of the church? The issue is, who does most of the persecution and killing of Christians? Yeah. Right, the church. Catholic Church, the Protestant Church. It's a very, very sad history. We had, the 30 Years' War, the 100 Years' War. So, what is the surprise in identifying the worst enemies of the church and the body of Christ? You can even go back to Cain, you know? Killing his brother. Yes, it's those in the church. I'd say it's a surprise. We don't usually expect that. What does that say about where we're going to find the world sometimes? Jesus said that the world will persecute you. And he meant the Pharisees and Sadducees and chief priests and leaders of the church of God in Israel. The world can be found in the church. Sadly, a lot of us in Christendom want to separate ourselves from the world, and we think we've accomplished that when we don't do the entertainments and we don't go out and party and we don't wear clothes or have long hair. I'm going back a few years, sorry. But there was a time I went to a church where, you couldn't wear long hair and you certainly didn't want to wear jeans to church because that was being like the world. Sorry about that. That was a different time and place. But their idea was we want to separate ourselves from the world and the world's out there. But no, the world's here. And the worst enemies of the church are found in the church. That's a surprise. Yeah. Judas, right. One of his own, that's another good example. right? He saw the same thing going on even in his own disciples. Even we as Christians can sometimes be moved to do things we shouldn't do for those reasons. Right, right, absolutely. Thank you. That's right on topic, actually. So what are we to learn from Stephen? You'll see I'm going to get to that issue. What do we learn from Stephen? Acts chapter 7, verses 59 through 60. Mike, if you'll read that, and while you're doing that, someone look up Matthew chapter 5, verse 44. I got a volunteer. Ken, thank you. Mike? Do not hold this sin against them. Think about it. Absolutely. And we'd be wrong to think that Jesus was speaking about the Romans who were crucifying him. When he said, "Father, forgive them," they don't know what they do not know what they do. And Matthew chapter 4, verse 44. 5:44. Thank you. Yeah.
But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you.
Love your enemies. And when you find your enemies in the church, love your enemy. That's what Stephen did. Wow. That's all I can say. So let's move on. In our study, the conduct and character of Joseph. How does it reflect Christ? So we're going to kind of march through Genesis real quickly. I'm going to have to point people. Nikki, if you'll read chapter 37, verse 13. And Kendall, since you volunteered before, chapter 39. And boy. Got a lot there. Are you willing to do all of it? Okay. 2, 8 through 10, 21 through 23. Chapter 41 of Genesis. Terry, I ought to pick somebody who hasn't. Jeff, if you'll look at chapter 47. Chapter 47, 13, verses 13 through 14. And Terry, you're looking at verses 37 through 41. Chapter 50. Of Genesis. Mark, thank you. Verses 15 and 21. All right, starting off with Nikki. Different kind of translations. Here I am. You know, I'm ready to go. Very well, I'm ready to go. Whatever you want, Father. Even if you want me to go spy on my brothers. Whatever you want. Someone brought up the point with me that, he's telling the dreams to his brothers about how they're going to bow down to him. And it seems maybe a little arrogance in there. And it certainly could be. My point is that how does the Bible portray Joseph? Not trying to understand. Joseph was a sinner. You can be sure of that. And actually, the next chapter kind of portrays his weakness as a sinner pretty well. So let's look, chapter 39. Yes, please. phrase we keep hearing again and again, the Lord was with him. The Lord was with him. The one thing I kind of promised you something I didn't deliver, showing how he too is a sinner. Remember what Joseph did when he Potiphar's wife grabbed his tunic? He ran. He didn't argue with her. He didn't talk with her. He just ran, and she held on to the tunic, and he fled partially naked. The Egyptians didn't wear a lot of clothing, so probably left in his underwear. Not a good thing to do. Why'd he do it? Because he really was tempted. Anyway, okay. Lord is with Joseph. Chapter 41. Trustworthy. Chapter 50. Who has that? Oh, Mark. Yes. Verse 15 and verse 21. Not quite as dramatic as Stephen, but all he does is good for his brothers. Now, at that point, anyways, there's a whole other scenario, and we want to take a look at that. So that's what he put his brothers through. So what's going on there? This is question number two. How is Joseph being obedient to God in what he did to his brothers when they first came to him without Benjamin? So we got to take a look. Maybe we ought to start with chapter 37. A little context here. Verses 6 and 7. Want to look at chapter 37. Mike, thank you. There's another dream, but that's not as quite as significant as this one for the purposes. So all their sheaves bowed down to Joseph. Now, chapter 42, verses 3 through 6. Who has that? Jeff, thank you. Then verse 9. Then 18 through 20. And keep in verse 20. Mm-hmm. One more verse. All right, what does Joseph want? Wants Benjamin there. It says he remembered the dream. What does that mean? All the brothers are bowing to him. There wasn't Benjamin. So the dream, as we know, Joseph is gifted by God to interpret dreams. And here we see Joseph interpreting his own dream. He knows what must happen, and it hasn't happened yet. So he's going to see to it. He's going to bring it to pass. Yes, they're both the sons of Rachel. They're the only two, and that's why Jacob didn't want to send Benjamin, because his beloved Rachel, he already lost Joseph, and so the only one who has, you know, reminds him of Rachel is Benjamin. So. Did Jacob have favorites? Yes, he did. Did his father have fake favorites? Isaac. Yes, he did. They had some problems in their family. They aren't perfect, you know. So they make us feel more comfortable. All right, going back, Genesis chapter 43. Why did Joseph not reveal himself to his brothers in Genesis 43, verses 26 through 31? What did he still want to know about them? Who would like to just read that for us? Genesis 43, verse 26. Kathy, would you like to do that for us? Thank you. 26 through 31. So you can see he's not revealing himself. He's not telling them who he is. He wants to. He wants to. But he doesn't. So what is it? Why not? Well, you know what happens. He hides, maybe I have it in the scripture here. Let's just see. Maybe I've already got you looking at it. Chapter 44, verses 1 through 12, 18 through 34, and 18 through 34. So, 1 through 12. Let's start with that. John. Thank you. the drama. I mean, he knew where it was. He starts with the oldest, right? No cup till the youngest. And this is something Joseph, you know, he orchestrates this all. Remember who Benjamin is. He's the one who didn't go because he's his daddy's favorite. It's the same situation. Joseph was the one who had the coat of many colors, the preferred son. Here we're dealing again with a preferred son. What is it Joseph wants to see? Yes. Yes. Now, what God's word says here about this is very significant. So let's look at it. Nikki's got it, but there's a way it's expressed that's very significant. Yeah. Let's see what God's word says here. Verses 18 through 34. Since you want to see what God's word says, Ken, why don't you read it for us? Yes, Judah did say, he did. Reuben did the same thing, but it was earlier on, and Jacob ignored Reuben. And then Judah did it again when they really needed to go down. 18 through 34. This is, of course, Judah speaking. So, what's going on? Going to trade himself for his brother. What's his motive? love for his father. I mean, ultimately, it's love. It's beyond honor. It's love. How can he do this to his father? How can he bring harm, allow harm to come to his father's favorite son? Do you understand this? I mean, he knows he's not the favorite son. The father hasn't learned, no. Hasn't learned a thing about playing favorites. It doesn't matter. Not to them, not to Judah. Oh, yeah, we see that in the story. Yeah, that comes out. So, right, this might be it for Judah. Right. So Judah was willing to lay down his life. And the servant said, did you notice what the servant, what Joseph said? You all can go free. He's giving it all to, I mean, this is the opportunity. All of them could go free if they just leave that, you know, that Benjamin down there. Yeah. And he looks guilty, right? He looks guilty. He had the cup. All right. 1 John 4, verse 16 and verses 20 through 21. It isn't by accident that this happened. God put this here to teach us a lesson. What does 1 John say? Do you have that, Pete? You look like you might have that. Okay, John, that's okay. Yep. So what is our motive to be for loving one another? Because God loved us and we want to love him. What was Judah's motive for loving his brother Benjamin? His love for his father. Joseph is looking into his brothers' lives and looking for love for their father. That's when he knows he's safe with them. That's when he knows he can trust them. He can trust them because they love their father. That's what he's looking for. That's what God's looking for us, in us. You might say, oldest brother, Jesus. If you dare use that, you know, expression, but in a sense he is looking in us that we love our Father so much that we are willing to lay down our lives for one another. So I just, you know, to see how God puts all the scripture together to tell us one, you know, consistent truth is just wonderful. All right. Next, Genesis chapter 45. 3 through 8, Genesis chapter 50, 15 through 20. And then we're going to compare that with Acts. So, what's going on? I want just another little something goes on here in the story that's helpful. Chapter 45, verses 3 through 8. And you remember how they were afraid once their father died, Joseph might do something, you know. And he was just honoring his father in taking care of his brothers. So just jumping ahead to chapter 50, verses 15 through 20. Nikki, thank you. Verse 20. Okay, jump forward to Acts, chapter 2, verse 23. This is Peter's first message on the day of Pentecost. Sounds like we just did that, didn't we? Easter, maybe. Sue. You did it. All right, verses 36 through 39. Chapter 2. Barry, you have that? So I wanted to draw our attention to the situation and response of the brothers to Joseph and the situation and response of the Jews to Peter's message. Can you imagine yourself? You're the one who really wanted to kill your brother, but you know, one of them convinced you, let's not kill him and have his blood on our hands. Let's just sell him. We've kidnapped him. Let's just sell him as a slave to Egypt. Okay? And then the next thing you know, he is the absolute ruler He stands in Pharaoh's place. His word is law. He can do whatever he wants to these guys. And they just find out who he is. The word, the scripture says, they were dismayed. Well, ooh, yeah, wow. You can bet. That's an understatement. So, same thing with Jesus. This Jesus, whom you crucified, God has made him both Lord and Christ. And they were cut to the heart, and they said, what are we going to do? It's the same recognition. The same recognition. The one who we have made ourselves enemy to, the one we have spent so much of our lives fighting, hating, destroying his works, he's the one who holds our destiny in his hands. And of course, Peter gives him the gospel. Repent and be baptized. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. I mean, you're not even going to not just be forgiven. You're going to have the Holy Spirit himself dwelling in you. Whoa. Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10. This speaks about the future. A day when it's coming. Well, actually, it could speak about Pentecost. But I think it's maybe both Pentecost and the future. A day's coming when the Jews realize what they've done. Yes, Tom. Verse 10, yep. Going to pour out a spirit of grace and supplication on the people of Israel. And they're going to see what they've done and who they've done it to. And they're going to know. They're going to know the gospel. That he did it for them. So, that's just I wanted to share with you so much of the gospel that's in the story of Joseph and how God uses the lives of his people to share the truth of his message. And so, you know, as you think about all this, we have Romans chapter 5, 8, and 10. This story kind of fleshes out and gives more meaning to these words in my mind. So I wanted to share that with you. If someone will just turn and we'll close with this verse, this passage, chapter 5 of Romans, verses 8 through 10. Terry, thank you. Amazing love and grace of God. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this time to look into your own heart, the heart of our Lord and Savior. We thank you for the story of Joseph and what it reveals about you and what you want for us. And really, also, just the story of your own love and grace and loving those who make ourselves your enemies, and you love us so. We thank you so much. Thank you for the promise that we have, that you are going to do so much more for us, having already reconciled us to yourself through Jesus. Help us to walk in the light of that truth and rejoice before you all our days. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.